This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome in. It's Long Shots. Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown. He's got the week off. You're just going to get Kelly and Wes this week. Breaking down the Houston Open. Wes, we know we already did Around the World with Wes. A reminder, we have split up the podcast. If you are looking for the DP World Tour podcast, check out Around the World. Check out the Long Shots feed. You'll find that over there. We recorded that already. Westgate went through all his picks there. You can get his write-up, though, VSiN.com. As usual, with everything we do for Long Shots, picks, write-ups, everything at VSiN.com. Go there. Wes, my friend, how you been? How'd you hit him last week at the Valspar?
Not very well. Hit him very wayward off the tee, shall we say. Hit him out of bounds, basically. Not very good on the placement markets. Nobody close. It was probably one of the worst tournaments I've had because so many of these guys missed the cut. But it certainly was an exciting tournament, though, last week. Good to see Peter Malnati. Very good story. First time in 8.5 years that he had won. He won the Sanderson Farms in 2015. I believe consensus he was 251. I think he had Circa Sports here in Las Vegas. He was 325-1. Malnati, by the way, has been very busy because he's one of the 6 player directors on this new PGA Tour board, which obviously has had a lot of issues in terms of pertaining to the tour and the game of golf with all the issues and divisions. But he ends up winning by 2 strokes over, once again, the bridesmaid, Cameron Young. Cameron Young, this guy just can't close it right now. He's got 7 runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour without a victory. I think I was on him for like at least three of those. I know you were probably off for a couple
for one
as
or
well.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Malnati, 3rd in the field for strokes gained putting, 4 for GIR, 4 for strokes gained ball striking, 9th for approach. Does get an invitation to the Masters for the first time in his 15-year professional career. So it was good to see him with his family and his son, and he was very emotional. Malnati first, Cameron Young second, Chandler Phillips, PGA Tour rookie, tied for 3rd, best career finish, along with Mackenzie Hughes. And then the rest of the top 10, Xander Schauffele, Ryan Moore, Carl Juan, Adam Hadwin, Cage Lee, Christian Bezuidenhout, which was my only winner actually on the placement market. So now we're done with the Florida swing and we get the Texas two-step starting this week in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, but not a great tournament for us all around as a podcast. Keith Mitchell did save me a bit with taking that lead.
We probably should mention him too, because he was the overnight leader on Saturday. Ended up finishing, I think, in the top 20. He was 8 over through 13 holes on Sunday.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I did have an outright in the top 20 on him. Luckily with that eagle to close out Saturday.
He had to backdoor. That's so cruel, man. You got the overnight leader. It's like, okay, even if he falls back a little bit, I'm pretty safe here. And then falls outside the top 20 and then has to backdoor to get his way back in.
Yeah, luckily I was able to buy off on a no price here at Circa on Saturday night. But that's why that eagle on 18 was so huge on Saturday, just to give me a decent price. So I was able to squeeze out a small profit. I got a backdoor top 10 from Xander playing out of his mind on Sunday.
He's the master at that, man. He's like the new Kuchar.
Yeah, he really is. So I was able to squeeze out a small profit, but nothing to get too excited about overall. Not exactly our best tournament, but Valspar, it's an interesting tournament. It really is.
It's very difficult.
It really is. I like it. I like watching it.
I do too.
Kind of hate where it falls in the new schedule, just because I think it gets just kind of blown by when it's I think all 4 of those tournaments in Florida are really exciting. So yeah, I kind of wish all of them got a little bit more love. You know, obviously 2 of them are elevated events now, but all 4 are so great. It just kind of sucks when one gets buried in between events. But we move on to the Houston Open. Try to find a winner this week. The Texas Children's Houston Open, your odds board, we're down to, I know we have rebounded. I saw Scottie Scheffler get down as short as +250 at DraftKings, back up to +260 at the moment of this recording. So check again when you go to make your bets.
Yeah.
But that's where Scottie Scheffler lives at.
Don't know if that's because, he shaved the beard. You know, what is strokes gain beard shaving? Because yeah, Scottie Scheffler, I'm sure, probably number 1 in the category.
I mean, like I think I can speak for most athletes out there, Scottie, that you don't shave the playoff beard if it's running hot. I mean, what are you doing?
Right.
That's a Sounds like the worst decision he's made all year.
He's tempting fate. But by the way, he set the course record here on this course, just as an aside note, with a round of 62 in 2021, where he finished runner-up. Because remember, this event was held in the fall for a couple years. So we actually did not have a Houston Open last year. So the last Houston Open we had was 2022 in November, won by Tony Finau. So now a new sponsor here for the Houston Open, back in its customary spring spot, now 2 weeks before the Masters. It used to be the week before.
Yep. So Scheffler plus 260 at the top. Then we got Wyndham Clark 12-1, Zalatoris and Thigala 18-1. Dip down to 25-1. That's where you're going to find Tony Finau, Jason Day. Siwoo Kim is 28-1. And then Keith Mitchell and everybody else 35-1 or longer. Wes, give us a run through of what you saw when you dug into the course here.
Yeah,
a little bit different now. We're in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. Six of the top 30, Scheffler, Clark, Finau, Thigala, Zalatoris, and Day headline this field this week. I've got the field updates in the write-up at VSiN.com. But the course we are at is actually a municipal public course, Memorial Park Golf Course, which started back in 2020. This used to be at TPC Woodlands and I think another course before it settles here. The Astros Foundation, which operates the tournament, committed $34 million for the renovation and redesign. Tom Doak did the redesign in 2019. Jim Crane, of course, the owner of the Astros, kind of saved this tournament from extinction. It now has a new sponsor. Remember, it was the Shell Houston Open for like a century, and then they dropped out a few years ago. So it is the Texas Children's Hospital Open here in Houston Open, rather. Par 70, 5 par 3s, 3 par 5s, 10 par 4s, 74, 35. A lot of the trees are gone. Not very many bunkers on the course. Fewest, actually, of any course on the tour. And the water is only in play in 4 holes because this is a municipal course. So you want the general public to be able to play this course. And they do a lot of rounds played here. Due to the tournament, and you mentioned the changes, because it's been moved from the fall and the spring, really the agronomy and all the horticulture, whatever you want to call it, you know, very different now here in the spring. It used to be all Bermuda, you know, from tee to green, but now it's overseeded with Poa-Triv on the greens. But the biggest change, though, I think, is the rough. It used to be that kind of sticky, if you will, not necessarily high and thick, even though it was a little higher and thicker than it is now, yeah. Bermuda rough, but it kind of sticks to the club a little bit. Well, now you got that ryegrass rough that's about half as thick, and it's kind of like resort style courses. So but just by that, it's going to play a little bit easier, because the average round over the last three events has been like 0.8 strokes over par, which was the sixth most difficult on tour. That doesn't mean I think this is going to play like super easy, but it's going to play a lot easier than it was, just because of the ryegrass rough, because players, I think, are a little bit more confident and aggressive off the tee. Whereas last week at the Valspar, we talked about clubbing down. You're not going to take driver off this. You can take driver now because you don't have fear of that rough here. So, you know, a couple different changes, you know, around some of the holes. I think the 17th hole got moved 30 yards farther back to kind of, you know, move it along the water, because that makes you carry the water. So they want a little more exciting finish here, potentially on the Sunday. Greens are going to be relatively firm and fast, 12.5 on the stimp meter. In terms of the hole ranges, three of the par five or threes are like 200 yards or longer. The eight par fours, they're either in the mid 400 range. Five of them are actually 500 yards or more par four. So this is a long course. So, yeah, you know, you're gonna have to get it out there. And it's a par 72. It's not a par 72 at 7430 or whatever the yardage is. It is a longer course. So, you know, if you did any comp courses, Golf Club of Houston, which is a former venue, maybe look at Southern Hills, Quail Hollow, Congaree, Augusta, Colonial, PGA National. There's not really a direct correlation, but some of those guys that have played well at those courses have played well here. In terms of the most recent winner, it was Tony Finau, who was 16 under in the fall 2022. Jason Kokrak won here on this course. Carlos Ortiz, both those latter players now on the Live Tour. So keep that in mind when you're looking at the data. 2020 and beyond were the courses that were or the events that were played on this course at Memorial Park.
Yeah, good note. Yeah, good note there. Yeah, five par threes here. This is five par threes. And I bring that up because basically outside of those, you're basically hitting driver on every single tee shot. So, mm-hmm. like you said, completely opposite of what we talked about last week with we were not looking at driving distance last week. We were looking heavily at accuracy with the reduced rough and how much you're going to take driver here. This turns into a little bit more of a bomb and gouge approach, I think, for some of these guys. I was really interested to see how much they cut down on that rough. You know, when you're talking about just course defenses here, it's really these, you know, it's kind of these tricky green complexes, right? I mean, really heavy undulation on the greens. You're going to see elevated greens, so stuff's going to run off.
The wind, too, because a lot of the trees have been removed, so it is kind of exposed in that regard.
You've got, last year, 27% of strokes gained came from around the green. That was the highest rate on tour, so probably the events you'll see us punch that stat in the most for this week, or one of the most that you're going to hear us talk about all year long. So definitely some things to be aware of this week. I just wanted to kick that around to you before we get to the stats that you and I did punch into models. Assuming you plugged in a lot of off the tee stats, are you more worried about a guy here though that's bad off the tee or bad around the greens?
A little bit of the latter here, just because of the rough being cut down. So, you know,
I agree.
That's why, you know, I went off the tee, but I didn't go as heavy as I thought I was going to. I certainly think bombers can have an edge here, so you certainly want to incorporate that. And one thing I did driving distance gained and not necessarily strokes gained off the tee. You know, so driving distance, you know, you get the guys that really grip it and rip it here because the rough's just not all that penal.
Right.
And there's not a lot of bunkers or water hazards off the tee that you've got to avoid. So, you know, even though the fairways go ahead.
But that around the green, a little bit more important to you.
Yeah.
Right. Those are two of the most important things this way. We always talk about approach, but this around the green and off the tee, more important this week than we usually factor in, and definitely around the green. I think it's stuff that and scrambling, you need to factor in more this week than you usually.
Yeah, the fairways aren't like exactly, you know, super, super narrow or wide here. They're kind of a little bit of in the middle, but because that rough is so light, these guys, I don't think have to feel like they're concerned off the tee like they were last week.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Okay, before we get to the stats, we did plug in another thing I wanted to talk to you about. See, a couple books are dealing Scheffler versus the field. Scheffler plus 250, field minus 400. Wes, if you had to make a bet on one of those, where would you bet?
Oh, man. Because look, he could certainly win here. he was a runner-up a couple years ago, and you know, obviously, you know, he wants to win in his adopted home state. He's originally born and raised in New Jersey, but of course lives in Dallas. So yeah, he always wants to win in Texas, and he's in great form. But you know, I do wonder, you know, guy, he had a week off. He didn't play the Valspar after the Players successful Players Championship defense. So it's not like it's a guy you want to get in front of right now, but you know, there are guys that are really playing for motivation here. Not that he's not motivated and doesn't want to win, but keep in mind you have this event and then you have the Valero Texas Open next week. That's the last chance for a lot of players to get into the Masters. They saw Peter Malnati do it last week at the Valspar, getting the Masters. So there's guys going to be grinding to win, like they feel like this is their season, really.
Totally.
And Scotty.
So
Scheffler
answer
won
the question, Wes.
Yeah, I know.
Scheffler on the field. Are you dancing around it?
I am dodging here because I am a little bit petrified that Scotty Scheffler goes ahead and wins his third event in a row.
If I had to bet one of those, I'd bet Scheffler.
I did not bet Scheffler this week, so, you know, I'd go the field.
Okay. I didn't bet Scheffler this week either. I'm just saying, if I had to bet one of those two, I would bet Scheffler instead of Lane.
We'll probably do our usual top 10 on him. I think we probably have to, even though we're going to be laying money to do it. But it's like somehow, some way he's going to get there. Like, even if he plays like mediocre, I feel like, Kelly, when I'm watching this on Sunday and you look at that little right portion of the screen where they have the leaderboard, that even if he's not at the top, he's going to be at the bottom. Where he's like going to be, it's going to say like seventh or eighth Scheffler. Okay, where he's going to get a top 10 even if he plays like mediocre to okay.
I agree with you, but are you willing to lay minus 275 on that?
Wow. It's up to 275 now.
275 for a top 10 on Scottie Scheffler this week.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe you just got to take a stand. There are sometimes you do have to take a stand. Yeah. I was looking at a matchup. I know there's different matchups at different markets. He's against Wyndham Clark mostly because they've been 1-2 the last 2 weeks at Bay Hill and then, of course, at the Players. Scottie Scheffler, I'm looking at some places, is minus $3 in a matchup over Wyndham Clark. Plus 240 is Wyndham Clark on the take back.
You didn't bet it.
I certainly did not. Now there are some places, too, where you can bet strokes if you really want to get a little crazy with the cheese whiz here, where you can bet plus like 1.5 strokes. It's almost like betting like a run line in baseball or a puck line in the National Hockey League. So you can do that with some of these shops on a matchup if you don't feel comfortable with that.
Man, that's an interesting way. That's not really a market we've ever talked about. I don't know if I'd ever imagine myself betting that, unless you're laying the strokes. You know what I mean? With how volatile golf can be, I'd probably, if you're going to play the plus money, I'd rather just play the plus money on a matchup.
That would only be something, Kelly, where I'm laying it, where I would only do it for like the fourth round. Like if you have a class player against some greenhorn that's never been in the final group on Sunday, then all of a sudden he's going against, he's in paired with like Rory McIlroy or somebody or some player where it's like, okay, this guy, man, he's going to feel this pressure. Because more often than not, you get to the chance to win your first time and you've never been there before. It takes a little scar tissue. So those guys are usually candidates to shoot a few over par. So that's when I would lay that, run and a half, shall we say, or stroke and a half for this game in a fourth round matchup.
All right, we're going to run through our stats, the stats we did plug into the model here quick, then we'll take a break, and we'll run through our bets on the other side. I'm going to talk Wes into a bet this week. I can guarantee you, I know it's not on his card because I saw a sneak preview of his article already, and I'm going to talk Wes Reynolds into a bet this week. That's a promise. But Wes, let's start first. Stats that you looked at heavily this week. I know we talked about it a little bit roughly, but what'd you plug into the models?
I think you have to plug in approach. This is actually pretty difficult as compared to most courses on the tour because the greens are not exactly huge, and you have these runoff areas, so it's kind of hard to hit some greens here. So strokes gained approach. In terms of like if you want to go into like a little bit more detail with proximity. About a third of the shots here last time, actually a little over the third, came from 200 plus yards because these are long holes. Like these are 500 yard plus yard par four. So you're going to have to hit it from 200 or more on some of these approaches. So that was the main proximity. You could have also done 175 to 200 as well because that would cover over half the approach shots. Strokes gained around the green, like you mentioned, 27% in 2022 came from around the greens, most on the tour. A lot of these greens, like I said, they have edges that they could fall into those short grass runoff areas, and your short game's going to be tested here. So you want to do strokes gained around the green heavier than you normally would. Also did bogey avoidance, even though it's going to be a little easier with that ryegrass as opposed to Bermuda rough, but the greens are not easy to hit and it's difficult for proximity here. It is very difficult to get it close. It's not just like, where you're Scottie Scheffler and you're always hitting it to 12 feet or something. You're going to have longer shots here and, have to be a good lag putter and take your two putt. Driving distance gained, I mentioned that earlier. Strokes gained par five. The par five is a little bit longer and more challenging, but you got to try to take advantage here. And then I always put birdie or better gain just because I want to see the context of how guys are scoring as of late, even though I don't expect that 20 under is going to win this thing. It's probably going to be mid teens, but still looked at that. I did look at strokes gained putting a little bit this week, and I did just general because sometimes, when you're at a bent grass course, you can go strokes gained bent grass putting,
right?
Or you can go Bermuda or you can go Paspalum or whatever it is. This is Bermuda, but it's dormant with the Poa Triv, so I just went with overall putting stats because I think when you're using that Poa, if you use that as a parameter, that gets a little tricky, right?
Yep.
Because agreed. West Coast Poa, and we talked about this before on Long Shots, West Coast Poa is a lot more bumpy. East Coast Poa, like you see in the Northeast at like the Travelers Championship, for instance, in the summer at River Highlands, a lot smoother. than it is. So that's why I don't like to do a lot of strokes gained POA, because I think that's really deceiving and you're really getting in the weeds there. So I just did a little general strokes gained putting, and then I did general scoring stat like I always do, strokes gained total difficult scoring conditions. Scoring is still going to be more difficult than an average event on the PGA Tour, even though it is going to play easier this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you hit on mostly everything I had as well. Definitely did factor in. I'm glad you brought that up. Did factor in the strokes gained on more difficult courses and longer courses. I factored those in well. It's kind of funny you brought up the putting, because we talk about that often. I think I probably go less putter than anybody else on here compared to you and Matt, but I did the exact same thing this week. It was a little bit, but I just wanted to, with these green complexes being so difficult, did want to factor that in a little bit, but I just did the basic strokes gained putting. It wasn't for much. I just wanted to factor it in a little bit and use it as a bit of a separator. But yeah, everything else I did, strokes gained off the tee, driving distance, like you mentioned, and then approach. Opportunities gained with these bigger green complexes, the guys that can put it closer to the pin, the better. It's going to help there. The proximity buckets you hit on, I basically spread out over a little bit, 150 to 175, because a lot of the guys I was looking at were longer off the tee, but then did 175, 200, 200 plus is where I focused mainly at there. Strokes gained par five as well for me, got a score. These par fives are tougher, but you still got a score here to go low in this tournament. Around the green, as much as I factored in any tournament this year, scrambling, bogey avoidance, and then three putt avoidance as well here on the bigger greens for me. Okay, that was everything we plugged in. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go over all of our bets for the Houston Open. Welcome back to Long Shots. Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin here. All right, Wes, we went over the stats. We went over the course. What made it onto your card this week, my friend?
Yeah, and Scottie Scheffler did not. I'm going to take a stand against him at less than 3-1 and then probably be ready to get hurt again. But that's just what you have to do at this point. Didn't go that far down the board for
stand
my first
stand against
choice.
Him? You're gonna bet against him in
I'm
some
I'm not
going to
bet against him. I'm going to stand against him by not betting him.
You're going to stand
so,
away
so it's a stand away. I guess is probably the better phrasing. Yes. I'm not getting in front of him, but not backing him either. One guy I did back though, and it's not really all that far down the board. Sahith Theegala, 20-1, three top tens in his last four, was runner up at the Century earlier this year. He can be a little bit loose off the tee, as we know, but he's actually gained off the tee. If you look at stroke teeing off the tee, which I didn't really measure in the model this week, but I looked for context. 7 of 8 starts this season, he's actually gained off the tee. Where last year he ranked like 174th or something on the PGA Tour. So at least his driver is behaving a little bit more. And if it is, it's a good sign, because in other areas, he is terrific. Third in strokes gained putting over the last 24 and 36. Around the green, he's got a real nifty short game because he gets himself so much in trouble sometimes off the tee that he needs to rely on it. Should thrive on these faster greens. By the way, a lot of people don't know, Sahith Theegala is actually based here in Houston, mm-hmm. and lives in Houston, even though he's originally from California. So he's played this a lot. I'm sure this event means a lot to him. I think he comes in as a different player. Remember, he did win the Fortinet last fall. So it's not like he's that guy that has that jitters trying to win for his first time.
Was he a guy, Wes, that had been on your radar?
A little bit.
This is a little bit of whatever the hell the term is. Spoiler. He's also on my card. He's also on my card, which will make it a pod play, I guess, since it's just me and you this week. So I'll fire this one.
Oh, we do have it. Okay. I was about to ask because I thought I was going to have to try to do the sound effect.
No, I think as I dug into him more this week, I guess he wasn't a guy I've been betting much this year. And hadn't really heavily considered him at any other tournament. So, yeah, the finishes snuck up on me a bit. I was like, wow, he's actually been playing.
Yeah, he was top 10 at the Players, top 10 at Bay Hill. And look, those were elite fields. You know, those were elevated fields. And now you got a Houston, which has some good players in it, but this is not, you know, that $20 million plus purse deal, $9.1 million, by the way, for this field of 144 this week. But, yeah, I was looking at him or maybe Zalatoris because I know a lot of people do like Zalatoris this week, and I think his win is going to come.
I think so too.
Come at that tournament down in Augusta in a couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. I already have a bet in on that. I hope that happens. I was the, The separator mainly for me, and I mean, I could have bet them both, but I chose not to. I left Al Torres off the card this week. I just, the around the green game still concerns me a little bit with Willie Z. Is it good enough to really, you know, really go out and win here when I think that's going to be pretty important this week? That's where Thigala kind of checks all the boxes this week. So I like that one a lot. I'm going to let you finish your card, but I wanted to jump in on that one because he's probably my favorite golfer this week. He's the guy I'm going to be using in one and done.
Yeah, I think this is a good week to use him if you haven't already. One, I don't like the price, but I think I can kind of understand where it is. But Alex Noren at 40-1 seems like a low price on this guy who, while he has 10 victories on the DP World Tour, hasn't won on the PGA Tour. He's now 41, has not won anywhere in nearly 6 years. And he always has a really good short game. Like, if you ever see him for strokes gained around the green or strokes gained putting, he's always very much up there if you ever model that stuff. But the driver and the irons have been on an uptick of late because the ball striking can be very hit and miss with this guy. But over the last 8 rounds, he ranks 5th in strokes gained total and 13th in strokes gained approach. So, you know, Noren, I think, is a guy that's going to embrace the challenge off these greens, you know, whereas some guys I think are going to get in trouble. He is very good when I think the around the green stuff is tougher. So Alex Noren, 40-1 for me. And then another guy who's still seeking that first win that always seems to model really high, but man, just doesn't win, is Stefan Jaeger at 50-1. Mm-hmm. Top 10 here in 2022, missed 2 of the 3 cuts in Florida. But before that, he was top 3 at Torrey Pines, was top 3 in Mexico. If you go back a little bit, last 36 rounds, 10th strokes gained total, 13th off the tee. So he's a guy, if they can make him, he can get right here, even though he had a little minor slump in Florida. Jake,
yeah,
Knapp.
throw out ahead. Florida, and he's been playing well. Yeah. I did land on him for a bet as well. So yeah, it's throw out Florida. It all looks pretty good, but it has been gross the past few weeks.
It is. Jake Knapp, 60-1, just 6 weeks removed, of course, from winning his maiden PGA Tour victory at the Mexico Open, and then the following week he actually was 4th at PGA National, made the cut at Bay Hill and the Players, even though he's never really in the mix in those two events. 6th on approach, 15th on putting, last 24 rounds. Maybe this is like what Darius Vandreel is. Spoiler alert, he was on my card for the Indian Open, which you can catch on Around the World with Wes Reynolds, wherever you get your podcast, you know, who had just won several weeks ago at Kenya. So I'm going to try the same thing with Jake Knapp here. Joel Damon, 85-1, 5th here in 2021, 9th here in 2022, 5th on approach, last 24 rounds, 3rd last week at the Valspar for both approach and ball striking, which we were like, how did he finish like T49? Well, it's because he didn't really gain around the greens, but, you know, that's such variance. Like, whenever when in doubt, Kelly, I'm always like, okay, maybe the ball striking stays true.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and I brought him up last week. Like, his iron play has been so incredible approach wise. Like, I couldn't. He was messing with my head last week because I didn't end up making my card. But it was, what was it, the Players, that his stats were so good at the Players. It was kind of skewing some of my model results on him. But Jake Knapp, him, I kind of co-signed on both. I didn't bet either one of them, but I looked at both of them pretty hard.
Yeah, and Damon, look, just the course experience here. I mean, we don't have a lot of form to go on because he's only played 3 years here, but 2 top tens last 2 times he's played here, so I thought he made sense. A guy that Matt mentioned last week that I am going to be on this week, and somebody I really like here, I think he could play very well, and it's one of my 2 bombs, Andrew Novak at 110-1. Missed the cut at the Players, but was T17 last week at the Valspar. He led the field for greens in regulation and was 5th on approach. And if you look before, you know, they got the start of the Florida swing, he had 3 top 10s in a row at Phoenix, at Mexico, and at PGA National. So top 10 in strokes gained approach, top 10 in strokes gained around the green over the last 24 rounds. So I thought it was a big number. I know he's not one, you know, pretty new to the tour, but I think he could play well here. And then another guy, I did go with like one real bomber because I didn't want to go too bomber heavy, even though I think, you know, with the rough being down, bombers could have success here. A German player named Matty Schmidt at 130-1, 8th for strokes gained total, 9th off the tee, and 17th for putting over the last 8 rounds. If you look at the form, 17th, 26th, and 10th. In his last 3 starts. So, you know, I worry like this is his 6th tournament in a row, but Matty Schmidt is a guy, because I looked at some of those guys that were like really good drivers in terms of distance. So I was like, okay, well, who are you always going to think of? The Cameron Champs and the Chris Goddard-ups and the Cootie brothers, both in the field this week. Johnny Vegas, Jake Knapp actually did qualify, Wyndham Clark. But, you know, I went ahead and went with the gentleman, Matty Schmidt from Germany at 130-1. And that's my card this week so far for the Houston Open. I'll have a few placement markets, maybe going a little bit lighter on those, because last week was a very much a disaster for me at the Valspar.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a pretty light card for me overall right now. Wes did actually mention a bunch of guys that I was going back and forth on, didn't end up playing. Knapp, probably the most closest of all of them. I'm assuming you haven't done your matchup shopping yet, right?
No.
You usually wait for that. Okay, so my biggest this is my biggest matchup bet of the year so far. How would you expect Peter Baldotti to do this week, who is in the field after winning last week?
Yeah, and
after what, 8 years in between wins?
Because that's
if
such
that guy ain't, that guy ain't partying for a day or two after that win, oh boy.
And it's such an emotional drain. And we saw him in tears, greenside. And, you know, and I mentioned the fact that he's doing that, you know, he's part of that player board, that Jordan Spieth and Tiger and Adam Scott, a couple others, a 6-player board. So he was actually, I believe, recently down in the Bahamas meeting with the PIF guy, because they're still doing those talks with the guys that obviously PIF owns Live. Owns that tour, so they're still doing those communications. You know, the peace talks, like Camp David Accords or something between these guys. But, you know, so he's been busy. He's had a lot on his plate besides playing, and now he's like, hey, I got in the Masters, man. I won, so I got a 2-year exemption also on the PGA Tour and all that and all the perks that come with it. So, yeah, I'd be interested more in fading him than backing him.
Right, exactly. So would you be interested in an Andrew Novak -105 over Peter Malnati? Because I hammered it.
I would. Because, look, you know, when you look at, like, an odd screen, like the Don Best screen, you know, or the Spank odds or whatever you look at, he's matched up a lot against Joe Bramlett. Where Joe Bramlett's like about -$1.30, and I think that price is about right. Bramlett, by the way, another one of those bomber guys. If you want to maybe put
him
a
little bit this week.
If you want to put a bomber on the card, he's going to be able to grip it and rip it off the tee. So I would still lean Bramlett at that price, but that Andrew Novak price, very, very good.
Stations, buddy. Yeah, go get it. I like that. I like that way better than I like Bramlett this week. I, like you just said, I would still lean to that -130 on Bramlett, but I'll take -105 on a guy I like a lot better this week in a heartbeat. So I just wanted to start you off with that one. That's the only tournament matchup I have in my bat, on my card so far.
Well, that's a good
this
start.
Week. But yeah, it is. I'm hammering that one, trusting that thinking Maldonado's not going to show up for another week after that. But we'll see. We're gambling there. I don't have one single pure outright on my card, Wes Reynolds. What I did is attack the winner without market this week. I want Scottie Scheffler far and away from me. So I did start with Thigala. I do have a Thigala bet, but it is at 16-1 without Scheffler in there. And then the only other one that I played this week. For an outright, but not an outright without Scottie Scheffler, is Kurt Kitayama. He was kind of popping. I don't want to say he was a pure top 10 model player, kind of across all the ones I did. He was probably anywhere from 5 to 20-ish range for me, but spiked in a couple of them. T19 at the Players. He's got some up and down results this year. Missed cut at the API, T39 at Genesis, T8 at Phoenix. But I like his game for this course, too. I think he's going to be able to hit it, bomb it off the tee a bit. You know, he's not a terrible round the green game. So Kitayama did play 45-1 in the winner without Scotty.
There
Scheffler.
Are some people out there that I do respect that actually had Kurt Kitayama on the card. So I did take a look at him. And, you know, that will likely be, I'm guessing, like a placement market type of thing for me. But he's really good with long irons, too, which I think would serve him well here. First time ever playing here. I don't think that's that big of a deal. He's only missed one cut in 7 starts, too. So, you know, because he had kind of fallen off after he won the Arnold Palmer, of course, at like 200-1 and held off all those elite players. But, you know, maybe yeah, this would be like a top 20, top 30 type of guy for me at least, because I think he's starting to kind of, you know, find a little bit of form.
Yeah. So those two in the winner without Scheffler market, Thigala and Kitayama. And then I moved down to the finishing position markets. Top 20, I have a top 20 bet on Thigala pretty heavily. I went back to Keith Mitchell in the top 20 market, 2-1 on Keith Mitchell. I don't know. I think Matt might have nailed it last week when he brought up about Doug Gim. Are we worried about these guys playing so many events in a row? And Keith Mitchell falls into that category now coming over to play.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to back him to win, even though there's a couple notables out there in the golf betting market that did. But, yeah, you know, I don't want to necessarily fade him, but I wouldn't back him like on an outright. I think the best way to play him would be placements, because this guy can hit it off the tee too, and you think would be a pretty darn good fit on this course.
Yeah. So top 20 at 2-1 for him. Again, recent results, he's been living in that range. T17 last week, he was 73rd to players, but then T19 at the Cognizant, T19 in Mexico, T17 at Phoenix, finished T9 here last year. So I'm going back with Keith Mitchell for another week. I think this is the fourth week in a row I've met Keith Mitchell. So top 20, 2-1 on him. Jaeger, then I split bets. I played a 2-1 on him on the top 20. And then I played -120 on a top 40 for Jaeger. Same kind of a little bit of the same story here as Kitayama. He was a little bit all over the place in my models, from, you know, kind of ranging bottom top 10 into the teens for me in the models. But T9 finish here last year. Again, you talked about it, but you kind of throw out Florida. Kind of willing to give him a break. I think at these prices, at least a top 40 bet, I think is pretty solid on him this week. So that's everything I have right now. I don't really expect I'm going to be adding too much more. A little bit of a lighter card for me this week. I do think there's a lot of win equity at the top this week with Scheffler, with Wyndham Clark and the way he's been playing, and possibly with Zalatoris as well. He does scare me. So just to recap real quick, winner without Scheffler market, I played Thigala and Kitayama, and then top 20s on Thigala, Keith Mitchell, and Jaeger, a top 40 on Jaeger, and then one tournament matchup for me so far, Novak over Malnati. Wes, recap all your stuff real quick.
Yeah, and one guy I also want to mention, I'll probably have on a placement market, because he did, you know, really jumped off the page for all the around the green stuff and the putting stuff. Aaron Baddeley, who played pretty solid last week, he might be one I have on a placement, maybe not on an outright, okay. But the outright card, Sahith Thigala, 20-1, Alex Noren, 40-1, Stefan Jaeger, 50-1, Jake Knapp, 60-1, Joel Damon, 85-1, the two bombs, Andrew Novak, 110-1, Matty Schmid, 130-1.
All right, I like it. Let's get a winner this week. Or, you know, or Scotty Scheffler, you can win for me, but then yes. I need Sahith Thigala to finish second, and then Wes is going to be
winning. You need him in the Wyndham Clark spot, and then I'm going to be like, man, you were really smart, and I was a complete dope.
Yeah, really smart, going ahead and betting cursing that me market. Out under your breath. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's try to get one home this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, get all the around the world stuff from yesterday. You can find that in the podcast feed. All of Wes's course breakdowns at VSiN.com. Get all our bets at VSiN.com. For Wes, I'm Kelly. We'll talk to you next week.